Today I'm reviewing Arachnophobia. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new edition of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and of course, we are talking scary movies. I appreciate y'all tuning in for another brand new episode. Remember, new episodes always go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. But as I put up a lot of reviews throughout the week, you're going to want to make sure to hit that subscribe button just so you can stay on top of all the reviews I'm putting out. And the best way to do that is to head to my Linktree, which you can do by going to linktr.ee/tscarymovie. If you go to my Linktree, that'll get you access to the YouTube page for the video versions of the show, to your favorite podcasting platforms for the audio-only versions of the show, to my Letterboxd page for my reviews and my movie rankings throughout the year, and to my TikTok page for my short horror videos as well. I'm always doing something when I go catch a premiere or something like that. So hit that subscribe button. Not only does that help me out, but it gets me to get more reviews for y'all as well too. Again, hit that subscribe button whether you're on the Linktree or on the YouTube page. So, like I said, today I'm going to be talking Arachnophobia. I just got done seeing the movie Sting as a part of AMC's Scream Unseen this past Monday, and I figured, you know what, if we're going to do that, we have to jump back into the one that kind of destroyed me as a child and take a look at it to see how much it has in common with Sting. So that's what we're gonna do. Now, if you've never seen Arachnophobia before, Arachnophobia tells the story of Dr. Ross Jennings, who moves to Canaima, California with his family to take up the job of the resident doctor in the town. Unfortunately, after the doctor refuses to retire, Ross is only left with a few patients, but he'll start to see that number begin to mount up as deaths begin to occur around the town that seem to be caused by a spider. This movie is one that I will absolutely say that I saw at far too young of an age. You know, that's a great thing about horror movies, is that most of us who love horror, we probably saw a lot of shit that we shouldn't have been seeing at an age that was absolutely not appropriate for it, which is what makes horror all the more fun. But Arachnophobia might be the only movie I can think of that I saw that I don't know if I'll ever be old enough to be appropriate to watch this movie. Y'all, I hate spiders. I hate spiders so much. They scare the bejesus out of me. And Arachnophobia is one that has just stuck in my head for 30 years at this point. Now, what's very interesting about this film is the fact that even though it's a creature feature, and the story is set up at the very beginning that it's a Venezuelan spider that ends up killing a photographer that's on an assignment there to get some photos of the area and the bugs and all that. And this spider ends up hitching a ride back to this photographer's hometown, mates with a normal house or a house spider, and then madness ensues. We get this new super breed of spider that's incredibly poisonous, incredibly aggressive, and as I said, goes around trying to kill a number of people. Now, it is very easy to take this film as just a creature feature. We've had plenty of those before. All kind of bug movies came out prior to this. This is not even the first big spider movie that came out. I mean, there's a film called Tarantula, a film called Kingdom of the Spiders, both of which I've talked about on this show before as well. But it is interesting that this film is one of the first mainstream ones, I feel, that kind of blended comedy with that horror element, because Arachnophobia is a really funny movie, honestly. It actually is very, very comedic in a lot of the things that are going on, to the point to where it's not even all that gruesome until we're actually dealing with the spiders themselves. And I love that, because that should make it a little bit more accessible to people who are still looking for a good movie combined with the creepy crawlies coming around and murdering everybody in the town. And it's very interesting because I think that Dr. Ross Jennings, played by Jeff Daniels, is some really, really great character work throughout this film. What I love about this film, especially watching it now, because I try to ease myself into it every few years. This is not one, unfortunately, that I can watch all the time like I do with so many other horror movies. You give me vampires, werewolves, zombies, witches, the devil, mutants, doesn't matter what it is. I can watch all of that start to finish. I spent a Christmas day when you're watching The Exorcist all fucking day. But spiders just, I can't do it. And so this is one that I don't watch all that often. I watched it a lot more as a kid, weirdly enough. But I was noticing all these things here watching it recently that I hadn't really noticed even the last time I watched it, which would have been 2 or 3 years ago at this point. And I just love the characterization of Dr. Ross Jennings in this, because he starts the film with this fear of the spiders and it stops him in so many aspects of his life. People are laughing at him. People are making fun of him. His kids think that he's being like being a crackpot. And as the deaths begin to mount up and people realize that these spiders are actually dangerous, Ross begins to fight through that terror and through that panic. And there's a scene to where they're investigating and trying to find like evidence of these spiders, to where they find one. And Ross is told that, you know, he has to help set a trap to catch the spider. And like the guy's telling him, he's like, you know, we all have these neurotransmitters that, you know, we're scared, but they allow us to basically still do what we need to do. And Ross is like, I don't think I have those transmitters. And by the end of the film, he is so fed up what these spiders have done to this town, to his family, to himself, that he's going around with a freaking lighter and spray paint, trying to kill the damn spider in his wine cellar. And he's so angry about it, and he's just on pure adrenaline. These transmitters are working overtime, and I absolutely love that. Now, beyond that, the film falters a bit because Ross really is the most developed character in there, and nobody else is really given that much of a character besides Delbert, the exterminator, played by John Goodman. And one of my favorite roles that he has ever done is absolutely fantastic. Delbert is hilarious and honestly a character that helps me out every time I watch this movie and my fear of spiders. This movie is fantastic, as scary as it is, because they use practical effects. These are real spiders being used in this movie for a lot of the shots, even though, yes, there are some puppets as well too. If you've ever been to Hollywood Studios in Disney World in Florida, you have seen one of the giant spiders being used here that's in Hollywood Studios in Florida. It's absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying to me. I wish I could never see it, but that's neither here nor there. I do love this movie, honestly. I really, really do, even though I have an irrational fear of it. And it's interesting because today, I only realized that Arachnophobia might very well be a slasher film. Think about it. I just put a video out a little bit earlier talking about this as well, too. So you get the new town doctor who's coming to get this job that he's been promised, and he gets there. And the resident doctor says, nah, you can't take the job. I'm still good doing what I'm doing. And keep in mind, this new doctor has just bought a house, like an extravagant house at that as well, too. His wife isn't really working the same at this point. Like, this is a real serious problem. Now, this new doctor gets one patient. That patient is murdered. And all the suspicion points towards the doctor for malpractice, that basically what he was doing got her killed. So then the new doctor gets another patient. The football coach has him come and work on his team. And one of the team players is then killed during practice, again by a spider that we know. But then there's still suspicion about what Ross is doing and about his medical feasance at that point. It goes on. The original town doctor that promised the job that screwed Ross out of it ends up getting killed as well too. And if this was a slasher flick, there's your motive right there. Basically, the guy that screwed over Ross is now dead. Ross is now the new town doctor. Then the deaths keep on piling up. The mortician who investigated Manly's body at the beginning of the film, he's dead. So we can't really get the evidence that we need to prove what's going on at that point. Then after he's killed off, the spider expert, who in this film might as well be an FBI agent, the late, great Julian Sands, is killed as well too, just as he's giving all the information that everybody needs to protect themselves against these spiders and shut them down as well too. He's killed off. And the only person who can really deal with this at the end of the movie, for whatever reason, is Ross. But is Ross the victim here? Or is Ross potentially the killer? It's just very, very interesting how much this movie does work as a slasher with the spider being a culprit. And it's not lost on me, as I also found out today, that Wesley Strick, along with Dan Jacoby, wrote this film. But Wesley Strick is a very interesting name on here. Because let's talk about some of the other films that Wesley Strick has written here that kind of lends theory to my point. The Cape Fear remake with Robert De Niro. Wolf, the werewolf movie with Jack Nicholson. Return to Paradise, the fantastic film with Vince Vaughn about the drug mules and Joaquin Phoenix. Not really a slasher or anything, but still. The Glass House, Doom, The Loft, The Nightmare on Elm Street remake. This guy, I think, wrote a slasher movie with a spider in it, honestly. It's insane. And to go a step further, because I love Wesley Strick. That guy, oh man, makes movies I love. Even The Nightmare on Elm Street reboot, absolutely love it. But the director, Frank Marshall, who is a famous film producer, who's produced some of the biggest films of all time, including Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Color Purple, Poltergeist, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the list goes on. But also, if you look at his directing credits, he only directed four films. Arachnophobia, Alive, the one about the football team that gets stuck in the mountains, Congo, and Eight Below. Four films that I really fucking love. On top of that, too, this is a stacked film, y'all. This is absolutely a stacked film. But I want to know what you thought of Arachnophobia. Did you check it out like I did as a kid and it scarred you for life and it's still scarring you? Do you still avoid it at all costs whenever you see it's on? Let me know in the comments section and tell me what you think of my theory that Arachnophobia is a slasher. That's gonna do it for me tonight, folks. Make sure to stay tuned for more reviews coming up. We got The First Omen coming. We got Frogman coming. We got a lot of great stuff. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 is on that list as well. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared. Hey everybody, looking for a great way to stay up to date on horror news as well as read the best of articles on anything scary out in the world right now? Then you need to head over to the Fangoria shop and get yourself a subscription. If you go to shop.fangoria.com/axdw, you can use my own personalized 20% discount to save 20% off on Fangoria magazine subscriptions, as well as 20% off any other items in their fantastic shop. This is a great deal. If you've ever been wanting to get yourself a subscription, now is the time to do so. Head to shop.fangoria.com/axdew.